but 72 incidents each year, and often in one incident there'll be many people involved. So one person will be accused, and that person will then be tortured and made to give out names of other people. So in fact, there are a lot more people involved than that. And also, that is just the tip of the iceberg. Those are the figures that we got from going through newspapers for the last 20 years. And as you can imagine, you know, not nearly every single case has been reported in the newspaper. So the figures are likely to be a lot more.
Which is a huge concern in itself, and I suspect in gathering the information that you've produced in this report, you didn't come across too many incidents in the newspapers where people have been arrested, charged and convicted.
We found that about only 15% of cases that had been reported in the newspapers resulted in a trial of at least one suspect. So that is really a very significant, very small percentage of the number of perpetrators who are involved. Also, in these cases, there are often, as Anton previously said, a lot of people involved, which makes it difficult for the police to come in. But we estimated that there are probably over the last 20 years, looking at all of those cases, about 15,000 perpetrators had been involved. And of those, only 115 individuals received sentences. So a very small fraction of the people who are engaging in this violence are currently actually facing justice in the state criminal justice system.
Are you able to give us an idea as to what extent the reason why so few people have been brought to book is because there are clear difficulties in finding them, getting witnesses to give statements, as we've heard? But on the other hand, how much of this is down to unwillingness by the police? And also, I imagine, some of the police officers believe in this stuff.
Well, that's certainly the case as well. So we have seen instances of incredibly dedicated police officers who are putting their lives on the line, going out and, you know, taking their offices and insisting on bringing perpetrators to justice. On the other hand, we've also interviewed people, police officers, who are clearly of the view that these things can be resolved at a village level and that don't need to come into the state criminal justice system. There actually has been a group of people in the government and in the churches and in the NGO sector as well, who have been recognising this as a problem for quite a number of years, who have carefully developed the Sorcery National Action Plan, which sets out a really comprehensive, multi-sectoral approach to the problem. It thinks about the justice side of things, about health, because this is often associated with death and sickness. So we found that something like 90% of cases are triggered by a death or a sickness. So health is obviously very much related to this, and also education is an important part of it. So the Sorcery National Action Plan was developed to think about all of those different sectors, to bring in the government, NGOs, churches, you know, civil society generally, and that was passed by the NEC in 2015, but there was no budget allocated to it as yet. And so although it has been implemented in part just by a very dedicated individuals, the government hasn't actually funded it properly. So in my opinion, that is the most important thing for the government to be doing, to funding that plan, which has really been thought through and represents some of the most developed thinking about how to tackle this problem anywhere in the world. I was recently at a conference on witchcraft and human rights at the United Nations in Geneva, and the Sorcery National Action Plan was absolutely seen as leading the way as how to tackle this kind of problem.
But isn't the obvious difficulty that a plan can't lead the way if it's not being funded, which comes back to my original point that whilst you've identified a group of people within government who are committed to trying to sort this out and they've come up with this plan which is being praised, but the money's not coming.
Exactly, that's the problem. But you asked me what needs to be done, so the plan needs to be funded.
So what pressure can you and others bring to bear? I mean, I guess that's not really your remit as such, but I presume you would like to bring influence where you can. And this sort of report can only help because the figures are very, very disturbing.
That's right. It's just we need to be constantly raising our voices and asking as many people as possible to ask the government to fund this plan.
Is there a concern that there are believers within government? I do recall an interview on this program by a colleague a year or so ago talking to an MP in Vanuatu who said, well, the way to deal with this is you bring in capital punishment for witches, because he is an MP, or he was at the time, and he believes in this stuff.
Yes, so that is a view that has been expressed, but I think that most of the voices that are speaking out in government now are saying, regardless of what people believe in, the important thing is that nobody has got the right to accuse and torture innocent men, women and children. And that is the absolute line that the government needs to take. So this isn't a matter of whether or not you believe in witchcraft or sangoma or sorcery. It's a question of whether or not it's right to use torture against people with absolutely no proof. And the government officials who are speaking out are all consistently maintaining that message. Those who have spoken out, I should say.
Do you therefore have some degree of optimism that as a result of this wave of action that is happening currently, the plan is there ready to go if the government funds it? You're producing very vital information on the scale of the problem, that we are making some degree of progress?
I hope that that could be the sort of the only good thing that could come out of this absolutely horrific recent wave of events, is that if it does force the government to see how important it is to fund the Sorcery National Action Plan, and to, as Anton Lutz previously said, to ensure that perpetrators are brought to justice.